Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Suderstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, June 23rd, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Hey, it's going to be a great program today. We have Greg Hunter joining us here in just about 7 minutes. There's so many crazy things that are going on in this world, and he did an interview today that hopefully he'll share with us, with John Perkins. I remember talking about John Perkins' Confessions of an Economic Hitman with Bob Chapman so many years ago. Well, not so many years ago, but so always interesting to get an update on that, I suppose. But, Al.
Yes.
Gold today. Markets again, weird. Weird Monday. I mean, we're going to call them Weird Monday Markets. And WMM, we're going to look at gold today, up $3 at $13.18. Most of that's just happening in the past hour or so. Silver's up 2 cents today at $21. Platinum up 2 at $14.57. And palladium up 2 at $826. Now, again, you know, when you talk about rigged markets, I mean, you should have some sort of a, you know, difference, variance of numbers. So here you have platinum and palladium both up 2 and silver up 2 cents. So I don't
know. They're up 2.
So, you know, their finger got stuck on the 2 when they were doing the computer digits. But the USDX today is a little weaker today at 80.26.07. And you have crude oil down 0.69 at 106.14. So not a lot of move with the Iraqi situation going on and interesting things that are coming out of that area. And but first let's go to the paper markets. And again, not a lot of change in there. Both the S&P and the Dow is backed away from their record highs. The NASDAQ finished slightly higher today. The Dow was down 9 points at 69.37. Actually, the Dow was down 25 points all day long until, again, about the last half hour, 10 hour of trade. The NASDAQ was up, well, basically unchanged at 43.68. The S&P unchanged at 19.62. Was a very good year. The 10-year yield, 2.62. It's interesting now, these Mondays, I can't remember for how long, months now, the Monday trading is just like non-existent. And I just find that interesting. It's like people are taking a three-day weekend, perhaps, just not interested in trading, or the plunge protection team and the manipulators, or maybe they're the ones that are taking a three-day weekend.
Might be.
Might be.
They got enough money. They can afford it. They've got enough blank or fiat currency. I don't know if they have enough money, but they have enough fiat currency. As long as the world accepts their worthless pieces of paper, they're good to go.
One of the reports out today, Al, sales of previously owned U.S. homes posted the best monthly gain in near 2 years in May. Okay. The National Association of Realtors reported today that the sale of existing homes increased 4.9% last month to an annually adjusted rate of 4.89 million homes. Now, the monthly gain was the fastest since August of 2011, but even with the increase, sales are still 5% below the pace in May of 2013. So now.
So it's 5% up and 5% down at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, it's just, it's new math, Melody. It's not important that you get the right answer. You just have to feel good about yourself.
Now,
when you get the answer, you got to have that self-esteem thing going. Boy, am I smart.
Now, do you think any, you know, the normal general populace out there, they probably, oh, wow, best monthly gain in nearly 3 years. The economy must be really good. And they don't even bother reading through or reading between the lines or even following through. But the pace of home sales is below the 5.1 million homes that was sold in 2013 and off the pace of the 5.5 million annual sales that would be consistent with a healthy housing market. 26% of Americans have no emergency savings. This isn't really anything new. Over the 4 years, there's been little to no progress when it comes to Americans' saving capacity. And how can they, when you have inflation that is beginning to crop up, they have no more room. And
it just goes to a mindset, though. It goes to both our economic circumstances and a mindset where a lot of people are just compelled to spend money. They have to do it. They have to do it for psychological reasons. And I know we're caught in a bind. I mean, you can't just say I'm compelled to spend money on rent, on food and clothing and whatever. I mean, you have to have the basics. But there's still a lingering inclination to conspicuous consumption. We get out and shop till we drop. And we get off on this sort of thing. And it's crazy. It's as self-destructive in its own way as doing crack. Understand, you can't just go out and spend that money. Government wants you to. Spend. Come on, stimulate the economy.
But you know what, Al? To me, that tells there's people have too much time. I mean, when do they find the time if they were working a good 40 hours and maybe they even added a few extra hours just because they were good workers? They were working a strong 40 hours. I mean, it takes up a lot of, I mean, there's no room to shop during the week if you're working a good, strong.
Well, that's why they
you've
have
got families to take care
that's
of.
That's why they have, see, you're thinking in the brick and mortar era. See, that's back like the Egyptians and the Temple of Karnak, which was made out of these massive blocks of stone. This is ancient history for archaeologists. That one day, probably next month sometime, they're going to go unearth some of our shopping centers and our malls, and they'll say, oh my gosh, look at this. Looks what they did in the past. What I'm getting to is there's ways of shopping, but I'm just, you know, you can do it. You can do it at home. You can do it on your computer. But how much junk do we need? And we have to weigh our need for junk against our need for savings. And Americans don't really get that idea. They don't understand, look, I could go out and buy some junk or I could save some money for an emergency. We haven't had any emergencies in this country to speak of, not real emergencies for most of our lifetimes. And so it's hard for Americans to get into that emergency idea. And therefore, they're not inclined to save. And the only thing that's going to probably change their mindset is if we have a real emergency. And people are going to say, oh, my gosh, I wish I'd saved some money. And they're going to save every nickel they get from then on. But, you know,
Well, the
it's part
point.
Of the culture. It's just part of circumstances. It'll change, but for the moment, it's going to be difficult.
The real point is people are not making progress, incomes are stagnating, and expenses are continuing to rise. And tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit about Detroit. Can you believe that the UN might actually be paying customers' water bills? So we'll be talking about that tomorrow.
Can I get them to pay my water bill?
And my electric bill, my house payment. You think?
Let's see if Greg Hunter's on the line.
Yes, he is.
I am.
Greg. Hello, Greg. Okay, how are you doing? Greg Hunter is from USAWatchdog.com, and he's really doing a remarkable job. You get a lot of views, and I suppose it's a little over a year now, maybe 18 months. I'm not sure that you've been doing USAWatchdog.com.
I've been doing it since 2009, August of 2009.
Good.
When I first went on, I'd spend same amount of time I'd spend writing an article. I do more interviews because I'm a broadcaster at heart. But I spend six, seven, 8 hours. I spend about the same amount of time basically on the interviews, editing and booking and blah blah blah. But I'd have five or six people read my article. And now you know we're getting 400 to 500,000 people a month coming to see stuff. So
it's really remarkable.
It's been hard work. It's work. I mean, it's just like you have a radio show. You guys can't, you know, let's take Monday off. We'll be back Tuesday. Maybe we'll do one Thursday. No, you got to be consistent. You guys are consistent. So, anyway. Yeah. How are you guys doing?
Consistent, persistent, obsessive, compulsive. There's a lot of words we can use to describe these things, and some of them are favorable and some of them are, well, maybe not quite so favorable.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about today? Let's start with John Perkins. You interviewed John, if I understand correctly, just today. John is the author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman.
Yes.
Is there anything you'd like to pass on from Mr. Perkins?
Well, you know, it's kind of like the Republicans and the Democrats, and his perspective was unique in that, you know, really it's like the two parties. I've said this for years. They just take turns ripping us off. I mean, it's like Nancy Pelosi and John Boehner both voting for unfettered NSA spying. You know, Democrat Boehner, Democrat Pelosi Boehner is the Republican, the Speaker of the House. And it's just that, you know, it's just what's going on is really, what he says is a corporatocracy. It's the corporations running things. And, you know, the threat of war is big business, but I think there's more than a threat. I really think there's more than a threat. He was a little cagey when I was asking him about real war, which, you know, is kind of dreadful. I mean, they're ramping up the sanctions against Ukraine. I mean, against the Russians because of the Ukraine. Russia's massing troops on the border. I don't get the idea that Putin's just an just kidding type of leader. I just don't get that.
No, you know, he's serious as a heart attack.
They blew up a big pipeline in Ukraine, you know, for Russian gas. You know, the Russians have cut them off and then said, hey, you need to pay your back bills and you need to pay us up front for the gas. I mean, some serious, serious the things are going on around the globe, and it really, the Americans are mostly asleep. Most of them don't really know what's going on. They don't really know, or they don't care that they, I mean, they care about Dancing with the Stars or the Redskins name or some other, you know, idiotic. Well, I mean, it's idiotic in the face of great, much greater things going on. But, you know, our currency is under attack. I mean, they just had a China, and this would just kind of slid under the mainstream media wire. But when you look at this, wow, China just did a deal with the City of London, with the UK, with a yuan and pound sterling swap, no dollars.
Yep.
I mean, that's our major ally. There's no other.
Yeah,
ally
that's our buddy. England is our buddy, our pal.
If
we can't even rely on them to back us up on this circumstance, who can we rely on to continue to be dedicated to the use of the dollar in international trade? If England isn't going to side with us, Who will?
Listen, if when I first went on, speaking about me first going on, I did it for Jim Sinclair. I was writing some articles for Jim Sinclair at JS Mindset, great guy. And I wrote something called Default Option. And I said at the time, and I remember the few people that read this, you know, was like, and I think I said it would cost us about $6 trillion. And we'd have to take the banks, you know, shareholders would, you know, you'd get wiped out. Bondholders would be nearly wiped out. The banks would stand and we'd be on our way out of this. But, you know, because that's not the path they took. It would cost $6 trillion. What did the professor at UMKC, say that we had? This was in December of 2011, $29 trillion into this. Are we coming out of this? No. Unemployment, people are leaving the work roles, they're leaving the employment roles, you know, they're no longer counted in the roles. I mean, we have 90 million plus people that are no longer, you know, looking for work or no longer on the rolls, no longer counted. The housing market is definitely turning down. It should be taken off like a rocket with a 4.2 or 3% 30-year interest rate. Retail is sucking, and if you factor in real inflation, it's negative. We just had the quarter-to-quarter, you know, negative growth. I mean, we've been told for 5 years there's no recovery. I can't tell you how many times I wrote the phrase, there is no recovery. And there is no recovery. We wouldn't continue needing what we need in QE and printing and money printing and 0% interest rates. And people lose the fact that we've had phony accounting by the, National Financial Accounting, FASB, the National Financial Accounting Standards Board. And since 2009, you can count your assets for whatever you think you can get for them. Well, if we don't recover, do we need phony accounting? I mean, the IRS, you say, hey, I want to pay my tax bill with my house, but value my house at what it'll be in the year 2057. They're going to say, no, we're going to do mark-to-market accounting. Your house is worth $200,000 relative to the market, and that's what your house is worth. But that's not what how the banks hold assets under, but that's what's going on. We have 0% interest rates for a key interest rate. They're suppressing interest rates with the bond buying. The economy is rolling over, according to Janet Yellen, which is why we get this big pop, I think. And also the physical market is under severe strain. It is under the people that know what's going on are buying the physical. They're not going to tell you because, you know, until the thing pops, we want to get all we can for as cheap as we can. The Chinese are doing it. That's pretty overt. So, you know, what most people don't realize what's coming is a currency crisis. Ultimately, we're going to have, and I think the big trigger is going to be Saudi Arabia. We've already got a tinge with our main ally, and they're with the yuan, pound sterling, you know, deal they worked out for trade, China and the UK, and I think the UK has to do it. They feel like the dollar is going to be impaired. I think countries are doing these swaps because they know that the dollar is going to be impaired. And, you know, our friend
John Williams. How many more countries do you think can turn their back on the dollar before there's a stampede? Right now, there's a kind of meandering away from the dollar.
Well, and
but 5-10 years ago, that wasn't even conceivable. Now it's taken for granted. And how soon, if ever, does it turn into a stampede?
Well, you know, that's the Riviera question. I had a professor that called things like that a Riviera question, because if you can answer that question, you can bet the right way, and then you can spend the rest of your life on the French Riviera. And so I think the real trigger is going to be we're going to still come back to the Middle East, although the thing in Ukraine, I mean, if Ukraine blows up, it all blows up. If the Middle East blows up, it all blows up. And I think we have Rand Paul admitting what I've been saying for, I don't know, a couple of years. We're arming the rebels in Syria. Hello, we're arming the rebels in Syria. Hey, they've got Stinger missiles. Hey, we're arming the rebels. And what could go wrong? You're seeing what could go wrong. We armed the rebels in Libya. Now, 2 weeks before 9/11/12, where our ambassador and three other people were murdered.
Let's break right here and take some commercial announcements, and we'll talk more about arming the rebels in Syria when we return. I'm Alfred Addis on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom, and our guest, Greg Hunter. Please stay tuned.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thethepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here in Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cedarstrom, and our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Give Melody a call. She's got some great specials, and as always, 1-800-375-4188. When we broke for commercials, we were talking to Greg about the idea that the United States has been arming the Syrian rebels, and it turns out the Syrian rebels are the same people that are invading Iraq. And now the United States is caught in an interesting situation, because on the one hand, we've been arming the rebels, and on the other hand, we are supposedly obligated to protect the Shiites who provide the existing government in Iraq. How are we going to resolve this contradiction, Greg? Can it be resolved, or can it be concealed, or what do we do with it?
They have screwed this up. And I keep hearing about how, oh, it's a master Uber plan. To me, it just sounds clumsy, stupid, no forethought. Now, you think about this. Let's just talk about this. There was somebody on my site that came up with a theory, and one of the theories going around is that, well, we want to do a regime change. We want to get rid of al-Maliki. Well, surprise, guess who he invites in? Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we got 300 military advisors going to Iraq, because we don't want Iraq to fall, but we're helping Iran, because Iran has military troops in Iraq. That Iran now has actually regular soldiers in Iraq. So let's just kind of play this out, this back and forth. Which side should we whack? And remember, the militants, the terrorists, the people we armed. And now Rand Paul says that, so I'm not hanging out here by myself. Incidentally, we armed the terrorist in Libya. Whew, what can go wrong? Vladimir Putin was saying, hey, you know, when you arm terrorists to do your bidding, you know, things can, you know, basically he said things can backfire, basically. He didn't say those exact words, but he said that a couple of weeks before 9/11/12. Surprise! And now, and then we started arming the Syrian rebels, quote unquote, Al-Qaeda. And that's who, now there's no borders between Syria and Iraq and even Jordan, in eastern Jordan. I mean, it's a whole mess out there. So let's say we start bombing the rebels. We're A, helping Iran, and B, you know who's helping the rebels? Well, let's see, Saudi Arabia is also Sunni, and they're helping the rebels because they don't like Assad's regime, Shia. So we start bombing. Let's get down to the math here. We start doing A-10 strikes on these rebels, and we start ripping them to shreds with our aircraft. They are also reported that they have Stinger missiles. And what do you suppose Saudi Arabia is going to do? We're killing their guys that they're arming. That all of a sudden now they've decided to backfire this back into Iraq because they really don't want a Shia government north of them in Saudi Arabia, right? Off north of Saudi, that's what Iraq is north of. So, maybe Saudi Arabia might say, we're going to accept oil payment in yuan and rubles and euros and rupee, and we'll still take the dollar, or maybe we won't.
I don't think they'll stop taking the dollar. I don't think they'd go that far, but I think they will ease into it, and they may take one or two new currencies today and one or two new currencies a month from now and a couple months after that. I think they're going to ease into it, it'd be my guess, but I'd be surprised if they give up on the U.S. dollar.
They announce that they're taking currency other than the dollar. I don't care if it's the, you know, Indian beads from a culture in the middle of, the rainforest. The day they announce that they're going to no longer exclusively take the dollar, nobody is going to wait to be the last one off the dollar train.
How much longer do you think we have before this really catches fire, this war on the dollar, rejection of the dollar? How long before this really catches fire?
Well, here's my favorite answer, and it's by Jim Rickards, who wrote the best-selling book, The Death of Money. And he says, and I'm going to paraphrase, this is an exact quote, but you can go on our, USA Watchdog. I'm not trying to be selfish, but if you want to see this interview, which has got 100,000 views, he says, we've already created the snowflakes. We've already created enough snow for an avalanche, a huge avalanche. And so what is going to be the snowflake moment? What I just described to you is a snowflake moment. A full-blown knockdown, drag-out war in Ukraine, where NATO has to get involved. There's another snowflake moment. ISIS going in, boiling in there, and before Russia can fortify, and before we can get our ducks in a row, because they're going to go as fast as they can and knocking out Baghdad, is another snowflake moment.
Well, you bring up something. Moments. These are snowflake moments, and everyone understands. Everyone who's listening to the program pretty much understands what's likely to happen. But everybody is white. We are all sitting around to see who will stick their neck out and say when. But who's going to say when? And that's the big problem. Who will stick their neck out and say, I think it's happening at such and such?
I'm not going to stick my neck out and say when, because it's not even sticking my neck out. I don't want to be that pompous to say, give a specific prediction. But what I will tell you as a journalist is that there has never been this much fear in the market. There has never been this much leverage in the world. There has never been this kind of situation where they print money and it no longer works. And clearly, folks, it is no longer, the QE is no longer working. We have declining retail sales. My wife and I were out looking at houses this weekend, and the realtors were wringing their hands over, things aren't really good. 4.2%, 4.3%, 30-year money, and things aren't good? Really? Wow. They're going to be taking off like a rocket.
You know, there's another point. I agree. The trouble in this country is mounting. You can see it if you care to look. You talked earlier about the banks falsifying their balance sheets. The reason they're allowed to do that is to maintain public confidence in the bank, because the whole system runs on confidence, as does a con game or a con artist. That's what they mean, a confidence game, a confidence artist. They all depend on public confidence or the confidence of the victims. how long can the confidence be maintained?
It just depends on what snowflake's going to cause the massive avalanche. But we are already in a situation where it's going to happen, and people are going to be blindsided by this. And, you know, they bought all this ammunition. They've done the Patriot Act 1, Patriot Act 2. They're set up for, you know, they know this. They knew this was had been coming. They know what I know, Alfred, Melody. They know what I know. And, you know, and that's a fact. They bought this, you know, this ammunition.
And you're talking about the government purchasing, ordering over 2 billion rounds.
Well, if one of my readers, I got a couple of things to tell you. Share a few with people from around the globe who write me. And one of them was from Australia. And he basically said that, you know, I just filled up and I paid X amount of dollars per liter. And he said, and what that equals is about $8.50 a gallon. And his prediction was, I think that's where America is. Can you imagine what the economy looks like at $8.50 a gallon gasoline? Another guy, I heard my email open from Cyprus, and he says, hey, I wondered if you'd like to be interested in to know what a Bay Area looks like in reality. I have a house on this on an island, and the changes since 2008 are stark. He says that, you know, that the mainline and worldwide chain businesses seem okay, but the streets and shops are shut down. Secondary local businesses are all gone with only niche shops. Check this out now. This is Cyprus was bailed in. They closed their banks. They told them they couldn't get any money. Well, you know what happened to confidence that you're talking about? Yeah, this emailer, he says, well, money is only placed in banks for onward sending bills and electric and other such things. Cash is kept in pockets. A cash-only economy now exists. You know, Cypriots are doing all they can to cheat the tax man. Huh? Yeah. Can you imagine that? We just had record tax receipts come in. But, you know, gold shops are everywhere. They're offering fractions of a worth. And, you know, right now the will of the people is not being represented, yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
why don't they represent the ordinary people?
To represent the ordinary people, we should have done what capitalism was back in 2008 and said, hey, woo, you made some bad investment. Bondholders, bye-bye. Shareholders,
yeah,
poof.
Too bad for you.
Well, yeah, I am kind of torn about the GM bailout. I think we can't let that business go because we actually make something. I don't like what they did with the unions. I hate that.
How many millions of cars have they had to recall based on a defective ignition switch?
Yeah, that was back. That was
in retrospect. It's not a
no.
It's
they're
not
still
a
doing
big
it.
Thing. Well, I understand, but what I'm getting to is this: we bailed them out because we couldn't afford to lose them, and the ignition switch is not enough evidence to say, well, we could afford to lose General Motors. Nevertheless, it's not evidence to prove that point, but it's a little bit of evidence to suggest that.
I suspect if we had let them go under, a Chinese company would have bought General Motors.
It's probably just a matter of time, though, until China does anyway.
Yeah. As long as they're buying Detroit, they might as well buy. You buy Detroit, we'll throw in General Motors. We got a deal. Speaking of such a deal, what's going on with Israel? You know, while we've got the Sunnis fighting the Shiites and the Muslim world is at war with itself, Israel's kind of fallen off the radar. Are they getting a blessed respite right now, or what's happening to Israel?
Well, I think that's exactly the way they want it. I think they don't. They want to just stay in the background. In my humble opinion, I think they want to stay in the background, which I think may forestall any kind of an attack. But I have no idea. They've been quiet, which makes me nervous. That you haven't seen
Netanyahu.
Well, today there was a report that there were Israeli airstrikes in Syria.
Yes, on the Syrian border. Yes, so that's. That up until tonight, till now has been pretty quiet. But then they had those, they captured those three students. I think one of them is an American, and they're still looking for that. It was Hamas, you know, lovely Hamas. They broke off their peace talks. I just think the whole thing. The other thing is, I want to come back to Russia and the currency. You know, this theme with attacking the dollar is a global theme. I mean, you have Russia again. One of their foreign ministers came out and said, you know, we should, attack the dollar, and we should, destroy America's ability to wage war. I mean, this is a theme now. You'd never heard of this before. Nobody would ever. You couldn't attack the dollar. It was a. It was Teflon. Yeah. You could 5 years ago, and even after 2008, attack the dollar. Come on, stop it. But you know, everybody ran towards the dollar. We bail out the world. But now you keep hearing this reoccurring theme, and the money and the politics and war are all intertwined. They're all completely intertwined. And one of my interviewers, Catherine Austin Fitz, says that, no, they won't kill the dollar. Before they kill the dollar, we'll have war. That's one of her themes. Gerald Celente also says the same thing. Before they kill the dollar, well, they'll take us to war, which is a kind of a frightening scenario.
A lot of people make the argument that virtually all of our wars ultimately are bankers' wars. Now, I'm not going to say that's true or false, but there's a lot of people who believe it's all about money in the first place. And that brings us to a situation now where we've got John Perkins and confessions of an economic hitman. He didn't go out and shoot people with a gun, but he did. He was involved in assaulting other nations' economies. He was an economic hitman. And then we've got this war against the dollar right now. And we have evidence in the Russia-Ukraine that we are engaged in financial war. If it's true that all wars, or virtually all wars, are run, initiated and run for the benefit of the bankers, if that were true, why bother with the tanks and the bullets? Maybe we're just moving to a higher form of warfare where we attack everyone's economy by juggling our interest rates and printing more or less paper dollars. And we have a bloodless war.
Well, I don't think we'll have a bloodless war because ultimately.
I don't either, but you see where I'm going with this. Are we headed in that direction?
Well, no, I don't think we are, and I'll tell you why. Because nobody. If somebody loses war, there's always a winner and a loser. And if somebody thinks they're going to lose, let's say it's the U.S., and if we think we're going to lose, incidentally, Jim Rickards was hired at least once, maybe a couple of times, to play war games with the Pentagon. And he was the quarterback for our financial team, when we start having war games. But somebody loses the war. And so that's when the real war starts. That's when they can't take the loss. It's the turning of the over of the table. And I really think this whole thing in the Middle East, particularly around Iraq and ISIS or ISIL and Saudi Arabia, we funded these terrorists. Everything was beautiful and creamy and lovely. You know back when we were supposed to attack Syria, we flooded the zone in the eastern Mediterranean, and we're going to go after, Syria. There are going to be airstrikes because of these alleged chemical weapons attacks, and Russia flooded the zone with their ships, and, we didn't attack. Then we made a deal about, we'll remove the chemical weapons. Saudi Arabia said that the Obama administration, quote, stabbed them in the back. That was an official statement by high-ranking Saudi officials. Mm-hmm. And I think that we didn't follow through. And then here we are arming we're trying to work this deal where we can work both sides of the fence. That's what I'm saying. We armed the rebels. This is according to Rand Paul. I've been saying it for a long time, all the evidence and all the foreign reporting, even though the mainstream media in America is about neutered. We armed the rebels, and we obviously have armed the Amaliki regime. And now Russia's coming in to hold him as their puppet, because we don't like him as our puppet. And the Iranians are coming in with the Russians to fight the rebels. What a mess that is with, and our other ally, Saudi Arabia, is in part backing the ISIS, the ISIL rebels, and we're going to start strafing them with A-10s, really? And then what is Saudi Arabia going to do? We're going to start, blowing up them with our F-15s and F-16s, and we're going to do these sorties on these rebels, really? That's why Obama was really cagey in his press conference last week. We're going to look at everything, and he didn't say he was going to follow.
Yeah. Consider, we're going to think, we're going to ponder, this, but we're not going to do too much that's direct, at least not at the moment. We're going to take a commercial break for a couple of moments here, Greg. And I am Alfred Addis with our guest Greg Hunter and my co-host Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Doing a great job on videos. Get some wonderful interviews, just spectacular interviews. We're talking largely about Iraq and the problems we have in the Middle East right now. And I want to amplify this one notion that's running through my mind, and it just started going through my mind as we're doing the program. We're increasingly engaged in financial warfare. We're engaged in economic warfare where it's not precisely necessary to bomb people and countries. We can adversely affect their economy by closing bank accounts. Huh? I mean, there's a lot of things that are happening in this digital world where it may not be necessary to shoot people. I'm not arguing that there won't be violence. But what I am suggesting is this. If we can precipitate, if we wage financial war against a foreign country, or they wage financial war against us, when the one country or the other loses, the result is quite possibly a civil war within that country, because all of a sudden the people in that country aren't going to have enough food, they can't afford gasoline, they're going to lose their jobs. Everything happens with all. If we can create financial chaos in a nation, we can kind of rely on the people within the nation to attack their government. We don't have to put any boots on the ground. We don't have to shoot any bullets. All we have to do is create economic circumstances where the people go after their government. Does that make any sense to you, Greg?
It does, but the same thing works in reverse, and thus the billions of rounds of ammunition. And we are in a weak position. I mean, we're the world's biggest debtor.
Yeah.
We have printed trillions of dollars, and we don't want to stop printing. It's weird. They think the Patriots, the Tea Party, they're weird, crazy. They're crazies. Yeah, they don't want to print us into oblivion, so they're crazy. Yeah. Yeah, they can't cut any money. They can't cut anything. Nothing can be cut. And they just want to, and their answer is just to keep printing money. I mean, they come out and say, oh, we're going to have a $400 or $500 billion deficit this year. Complete and total lie, according to all generally accepted accounting principles. It's going to be, and John Williams says, the real deficit is going to be in the neighborhood of $6 trillion. $6 trillion, according to everything that we have committed to and we owe. A year, in a year, $6 trillion. We're getting close to a bell-ringing moment, and I don't know if – I think what we're going to have a replay of 2007, 2008, or those 2014 and 2015 is 2007 and 2008. And I think the carnage from 2014 is going to make 2007 look like a party. And I think the carnage in 2015 is going to far, far surpass the meltdown in 2008. There won't be any coming back in for the Fed. Like Jim Rickards, one of the things he said was, what, are they going to go from a $4 trillion balance sheet to an $8 trillion balance sheet? You know, they're going to, what are they going to do? I mean, when does everybody say, your currency is done? We're going to cash your check. You're done. You're out. You know, there's at least $16 trillion dollar in liquid dollar assets, treasury bonds, things like that, held outside the country. And, you know, there are so many snowflakes that could hit the mound, the giant mound that caused the ambulance. It's not even funny. There's war, there's finances, there's, you know, Europe is a mess, financially speaking. They're talking about, you know, the IMF is talking about telling them, well, you got to print some more money. Woo, Germany doesn't want to do that. They've seen that play before, and, you know, it was so bad it produced Hitler.
And yes, so, and it also produced a powerful, again, that's not a surprise. Germany has a culture that's conducive to a powerful economy, but they're behaving, you know, the people try to behave in a fairly responsible manner economically. The government might not always do that, but they don't succumb to stupid ideas. They understand from bitter experience that stupidity, you pay a price for stupidity, and so they're going to try to stay away from that. We haven't had to pay that price in our lifetime.
Not yet. Not yet.
So we think, hey, we can be as stupid as we want. We're Americans.
What would happen if we just had a semblance of normal interest rates in housing? There's no way it should be 4.3%. No way. Our debt's so huge.
One of the things that would happen if they raised interest rates is they would attract more money into this economy. Interest rates down to next to zero, all that means is people who have money to invest are saying, I'm out of here. I'm going to move my money to some foreign country that pays me 6, 8, 10%. I'll move it to the third world, for example, if that's what I have to do, and stimulate the third world because I can't make any money. I can't make a profit lending my capital in the United States. On the other hand, you raise interest rates and you will draw capital in. There'll be more capital available. I think raising interest rates, contrary to a lot of what most people suppose, raising interest rates might actually tend to stimulate the economy by attracting money back into the economy. Does that make any sense to you or not?
Oh, it does, but that would be bad for rich people. That'd be good for regular people, savers, and people who are holding dollars. The dollar would skyrocket. Gold and silver would plummet. But that's, you know, what my plan, when I said in 2009, I wrote a piece, as I said, called the default option. We should have defaulted. We should have just taken them to the receivership. We should have written down the debt. Gold and silver would have been, you know, way below mining costs. But no, that's not what they did. What they did was pour coals to the fire. So what do we have? We have a rising stock market, which is in the face of everything that's going on is still rising. I don't know what it did today, but, you know, one record high after another. You know, and one of my guests, Greg Mannarino, is a former floor trader at Bear Stearns. He's gregmannarino.com. You know, he says, hey, the Fed isn't magic. They can't magically cast a spell and make interest rates stay low. They have to do something. They have to do something to keep it low. And this whole idea of flight to quality, that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, how stupid would you have to be to loan the federal government, you know, money for 10 years at 2.6%? I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. Although the treasury market is huge in that you know, the full faith and credit of the American government, you want to park $10 billion, you can't do it with a bank account that has $250,000 worth of insurance. That, you know, that's the big move. But the pieces around the globe are setting up, and the signs are there. And I don't know when that stampede, you were asking when is that stampede going to happen. And it will happen. That's the scary thing. There's not a if or it might or if it ever will. No, it's going to happen. Nobody wants to be the last guy on the trade, that's for sure. Nobody, and they, you know, listen, the world sends people to Wharton Business School. The world sends people, and they have graduated from, you know, Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. And, you know, the rest of the world is not stupid. I think the City of London would sell us out in a heartbeat, and I think they already
sure.
have.
And I agree with you.
I think the Saudi Arabians, the Saudi, is going to be a key player. I think the Russians are going to be a key player. The Chinese are going to be a key player. Even the Indians. I mean, they just had an election there, and they're going to be stopping, you know, this whole thing where we got our government, got their government to restrict gold and put tariffs on it. That's going to go away. That's why the ruling power lost in part. You got to get in between somebody from India and their gold, which they value as real money. Guess what happened to the ruling party? Bye-bye.
Yeah.
So I just...
You said earlier that you think 2014 is going to match up with 2007,
yes,
and the 2015 even worse than what we saw in 2008 and so on.
Yes.
Now, here we are in 6 months, already 6 months gone, essentially, for 2014. You're implicitly predicting that in the next 6 months we're going to see a significant disruption.
I think there's going to be disruptions in the gold market. I mean, you cannot suppress the price like this, this long, this ridiculously low. Paul Craig Roberts, a former assistant treasury secretary, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, PhD in economics, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, who's assistant treasury secretary, who coined the term Reaganomics, that's him. You know, a trickle-down, that's him. Okay, he was ahead of all monetary policy, and it's clearly laid out with another co-writer multiple times how the market is being smashed, stomped, manipulated, naked short selling. You know, the CFTC, which is a huge joke, is not going to stop the illegal trading. But what's going to ultimately happen, because they're not going to stop the illegal trading, is there's going to have another snowflake moment where no more delivery. Boom, we're done. So same thing with the silver market. I think, what is it? What does the silver market have? What do they have? A billion and a half, you know, is silver. I mean, I think China alone may have $6 billion in contracts. I mean, when is the moment going to happen with a non-delivery? When is the moment going to happen with the war? When is the moment going to happen, you know, when Saudi Arabia stops exclusively accepting the dollar? You know, there's just that what people should get out of this, and I'm not going to, on Tuesday, June, on July.
No one
15th,
can. No one can. I'm just kind of teasing you to see if I can make you give us a date. I know you can't.
But clearly, the date is coming, and the time is shrinking. Another thing one of my guests says is Jim Willey, who's got a PhD in economics, and what he aptly pointed out on one of his interviews a while ago was that the time between failures is shrinking. I mean, the time between these big stories is shrinking, and the political arena in Washington is, I mean, from people flooding the borders, in Mexico and Texas and New Mexico and California, mainly Texas. You've got the lost emails from Lois Lerner and all everybody else who was involved in this, 6-7 people. All their hard drives crashed too. And the contract that they had to back them up. Oh, that was canceled. This is worse than Watergate. This is a suppression of First Amendment issues, and no, I am not a Republican. Nixon, the tapes, he lost, 18 minutes, something like that? Less than 20?
Yeah, I think it was 20
years
or 23,
with
emails, I don't
crashed,
recall, but
gone, vaporized.
Rosemary Woods.
Do what?
Yeah, Rosemary Woods, she did allegedly some stretch, and she lost. Everyone knows that Lerner is just lying to us. The IRS is lying to us. They kind of smirk when they do it. They're daring us to prove that they lie, and they don't have enough respect for us to even give us lies that we might be able to believe. They're lying. We know they're lying. I don't know. It's shameless.
Huh? It's absolutely outrageous, and this makes what Nixon did look like he was a...
I know. He looks like a little kid. He looks like a kid who got caught with his hand in a cookie jar. It was a triviality. It is this. What Nixon did back, in the 70s? What Nixon did is comparable. Well, compared to today, it's a triviality. Today, we do it. It's done every day. It's business as usual. We have a Nixonian government. Yeah, it's not an aberration. It's not every day. Let me ask you this. Do you think Obama and the people in his administration and perhaps even Congress, do they think they're still in control or are they in a state of panic?
That's a good question. And I want to say behind the scenes, it's a state of panic.
You're right.
I think it's a state of panic. I think they don't know what the hell to do.
Yeah.
And I think either way, no matter what they do, it's a damned if they do, damned if they don't. And I'm telling you, they start bombing these rebels. Now, the normal thing would be to, well, let's bomb the rebels. But, oh, yeah, we armed them. But you won't hear that in the mainstream media. You heard it with Rand Paul. You know, finally, an official source. Yeah, we armed them both. We did. I mean, the foreign press has been all over this in Syria. We armed them. We did arm them. That's a fact. I'm not un-American. I don't think we ought to arm any terrorists. I've been asking this on my site for I don't know how long. Well, tell me what the bad al-Qaeda is. Tell me the ones that will kill in Yemen with airstrikes and kill kids and Americans and whoever. And then tell me the ones will show me the difference between the ones that John McCain will get his picture taken with in Syria and the ones we'll arm there and we'll give them surface-to-air, you know, Stinger missiles. Tell me, can you please explain to me, and nobody in the White House press corps will do that? Could you imagine somebody asking that? Could you imagine saying, hey, Mr. President, last week, you know, listen, this is the, how is it that you're, are you afraid of Saudi Arabia stopping using the dollar if we start bombing the rebels? They, too, are sponsoring their Sunni. Are you worried about the Russians coming in and being the savior to al-Maliki, and you're helping the Russia, our major opponent in on the other side of the border of Ukraine, and also Iran, who we're trying to get to curtail their nuclear program. Could you tell us about that, Mr. President? Are you worried about the Saudis stopping the exclusive use of the dollar so we start bombing these quote-unquote terrorists that we armed? Think about that.
I've got one for you. We've
that's
got
not
probably
a wild question. That's a, huh?
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got about 45 seconds left, Greg. Why don't you go ahead and give people a little contact information for your website and tell them a couple of the key interviews you've seen in the last week or so that they may want to take a look at.
Well, John Perkins is the latest interview, which is a different perspective. You know, he just came out with a different perspective, the confessions of an economic hitman, which I thought was, you know, unique. And everybody agrees with everybody, and I put a lot of comments on, you know, that agree and disagree. But most people liked it. It was a different perspective. Jim Willie's out again with his latest.
Does he drink coffee, or is his adrenaline running so fast he never needs any coffee?
Very popular guy, very popular website. You know, and you know, I had also had Daniel Ustulin on, who is the guy that wrote the Bilderberg, here it is right here. And we just had the Bilderberg meet, and
we had the time, Greg. Greg, we're out of time, so we're just gonna have to tell folks, visit USAWatchdog.com. Take a look at the interviews. Greg's really been doing a remarkable job.
Yes.
I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom and our guest Greg Hunter. Greg, thanks for being here. We'll talk to you another time.
Greg.
Thank you, bye.
Me until tomorrow. May the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Greg Hunter. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.